Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
So, Abby, it even happens to some of the seasoned professionals who have been doing this for a bajillion years, and that is the alarm doesn't go off.
When you guys mess up, I will say it does make me feel a little bit better. I'm like, okay, everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes. Yeah, so I got a text from Burt this morning with some explicatives saying, my alarm didn't go off.
Oh.
So he'll be here. We always like to guess, because even when he lived 3 minutes from the radio station, he would like send a text like that and alarm didn't go off, but he would still show up like an hour later.
Yeah, really. Yeah. You could have walked here and back like 100 times by now.
It's like, I don't know what you were doing.
Taking his time.
Yep. So my guess is, you know what? I think he'll be here right after the second e-buzz.
The second one?
Yes.
In the 7 a.m. hour?
Yes.
Yep, that one.
Does he live super far?
I mean, it's like 25 minutes away, 30 minutes.
I'm going to guess the bottom of this hour.
The bottom of this hour. Mo?
I will go, yeah, I would say about 7:15 tomorrow.
I like the guess. All right, so you had a roller coaster of a weekend.
I did, and it got off to such a bad start that I was like, this is going to be the worst weekend ever, which is why I'm so glad that I like kept or at least I tried to keep a positive mindset, because it turned around. And I just think that's good. Like, that's a good sign of, okay, if I can just somehow, some way manage to keep a positive mindset, I can turn some things around sometime. Because Friday I had a studio session, which for me, that's like super important, because for one, once you put the down payment on a studio session, you don't get it back.
Oh, it all makes sense now.
Yes.
It all.
You kind of see where this is going.
It all makes sense now.
So ironically, the week before, the Friday before, that was when my original studio session was. And I don't know what happened, but, well, I do know what happened. I was doing a lot of yelling and drinking. But when I was in Brazil, I lost my voice. And so when I came back to work, well, I don't necessarily have the kind of job that's good for you when you're already losing your voice. So when that Friday came, I woke up and I knew, like, I just had enough voice to get through work. I was like, there's no way I'm going to
be able to go. I remember. You sounded like Barry White Jr.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Little Barry White, little Ja Rule in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, it was very gravelly.
It was. And so I'm like, all right, it's not going to happen. So I called the studio, and I got what I thought I was going to get, which was the first guy telling me there's nothing we can do. So I'm like, bro, I'm not canceling it. I'm rescheduling it, and it's literally out of my control because of what I do. My voice is gone. Like, and it's a lot of money to go to this studio. So he's like, all right, let me talk to the owner. So thankfully, the owner looks out. She knows me. She's like, oh, it's Mo. It's fine. Just schedule it whenever he wants it. So I schedule it a week from Friday thinking that'll be fine. What could go wrong?
Yeah, it's all making sense now.
So Friday gets here, and it's Abby's birthday day.
Oh,
so
no.
I wake up that morning, and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of testing my voice a little bit to see where I'm at and if I'm going to be able to pull this off. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. So long as, like, no distractions or obstacles come.
Mm-hmm.
I got this.
Yeah. And then KK comes into the...
And then KK tried to kill me. And the funny thing is, right? So for those who may have missed it, I am super allergic to cats. And KK, you did a nice gesture by bringing cats in the studio for Abby to celebrate her birthday.
Because she's a cat lady.
Love the kitties.
And the only thing that seems to make my voice worse than other than being sick is when I get an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
So that's why I kept leaving the studio as much as I was. But it wasn't because I didn't want to die, because that actually wasn't the worst option, because then the down payment don't matter. Right?
Yeah.
But the worst option was for me to be alive and have no voice, because there was no way that they was going to push the studio session back for me another time.
A second time.
So
yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. So that's why I kept leaving and trying to come back and leaving and trying to come back and testing my voice. And as we're going there, of course, I'm trying now not to like let anxiety get to me, because you got to be in a good headspace. You're going in to record music. And then the Lyft driver calls me and he's like, I don't know where I'm going. So I'm like, wait, what do you mean?
To pick you up?
Yes. He's like, can you help me? I know.
Yeah.
I can't. Like, you got the GPS. I've been in Atlanta 5 years. I can't get around the corner. No, I can't help you, man. Like, you got to help me. I'm stressing. So I'm, like, trying to talk to him, and everybody around me is like, Mo, no. Like, stop. I will talk to him. Like, don't use your voice. Don't use your voice. They're bringing me tea. I'm like, literally swallowing honey. I'm doing all the things. Salt, goggling salt water. Yeah. Uh-huh. Doing it all. And finally, I get in the lift, and the traffic is, like, crazy. So at this point, I'm like, I'm going to lose an hour of my studio time. I'm not going to have a voice. This is all just going to be a waste. But I'm just going in and do the best I can do.
Yeah.
And I literally had to pick songs that I'm like, well, maybe a little Barry White on this won't sound too bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but it's like the traffic opened up. I just kept praying over it. The traffic opened up. This dude turns into James Bond to get me to the studio. My friends are in the car like, are you going to tell him to stop? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Again, dying is not the worst option here. No, I'm not. So he ends up getting me there. I was only like 15 minutes late, and I had the moment of going into the booth, and you really don't know what your voice is going to sound like or if it's going to hold until you're on the mic and you hear it to the beat. It's kind of like when you hear your voice on a voicemail, it sounds different. You really don't know. So I do the first song. And it didn't start off good. I was a little shaky in there. And then they brought me more tea. And I don't know what happened with the tea that they brought me, but I drank that tea.
Well, if it's studio tea, you know it's got to be high quality stuff that is like tried and tested.
I told him I need to get wherever he got that tea from. I need the Amazon link. But I drank that tea. I relaxed for about 15 minutes, and I did six songs.
Maybe they just slipped a little something in your tea.
Maybe. If they did, they didn't tell me, but I'm glad they did.
That's a different Amazon link.
Yeah, it worked out. It ended up, like, genuinely turning around, and then from that point on, my weekend was just, like, perfect. So I survived the storm, you guys. Just everything is okay.
Now you got to put, like, some kitties on the cover of your album.
Fire. Yeah, it works for Taylor Swift.
It does.
Yeah. I'll do whatever she does.
Well, I am so sorry, because I can only imagine putting myself in your shoes. Yes, I would have been like in my head, would have been livid at the situation, but trying to maintain my composure because it's out of your control. And what are you going to do? So all of it makes sense now, but I'm so glad that you got into the studio and you had an awesome session.
Thank you. It is all good. I am not mad at you for almost killing me.
Okay, sweet.
We are good.
The Burt Show.
So she does not want kids at her wedding reception, but her family is fighting back. If you have drama, if you have a dilemma, you can always go to theburtshow.com and shoot us an email and we will read it for you. Give us, we'll give you our best advice, and we'll also reach out to the Burt Show fam. 9 times out of 10, they've been in a similar situation. All right. So the email goes, good morning, Burt Show. A female bride here who is getting married to my male fiance in about 6 weeks. Been together 4 years and have always had the best relationship with his family. I really mean it. From vacations to barbecues, we see my fiance's parents at least once a week and his nephews and his nieces and nephew multiple times a month. No monster-in-law situation here. We are averagely close with his sister. That's a weird description, by the way.
Averagely close.
Averagely close. She's a nurse, so works weird hours, and my fiance and her have a 6-year age gap, so they were never close to begin with, but she has been so supportive during the wedding process and is even coming on my bachelorette trip. Both kids are close to the parents, and their parents always watch the grandkids, so we're super close to them. I think that's what makes this situation so crazy. All three kids are in the wedding.
Mm.
Two flower girls, 15 months and 4 years old, and one ring bearer, 8 years old. The kids are there all day, starting at 9 a.m. The ceremony is at 4:30 p.m. and then the kids can get picked up at 5. No kids at the reception.
Ooh.
My fiance and I don't have kids and we just don't want kids there. Well, his sister cannot be more hurt, in quotations, which I'm assuming is what the sister is saying. When we first told her, she said, oh, I thought they would be able to stay and dance, but that's fine. Then a few hours later, tells her mom that she is hurt, and her fiance calls up the dad screaming about how could he not want his grandkids at his son's wedding. Side note, she's basically a single mom. Their dad is useless and a drinker, so my fiance thinks she would have more fun with their kids instead of him and think that's why she wants them there so bad. Basically, her kids are her happy, and I get that. The parents called us asking if we would meet in a happy medium, maybe having them get picked up after cocktail hour, but we said no. It's our wedding, and we shouldn't have to compromise. We don't want kids there. And maybe only the 8-year-old will remember it. My fiance's parents will end up just being grandparents that day, making sure the kids are fed and stay out of trouble, instead of being there as a mother and father of the groom. Please help me, Burt Show. Am I wrong for not wanting my nieces and nephew at the reception? Signed, maybe a bridezilla.
Ooh, that's so tough. My mom and I have actually been talking about this a lot because I've been invited
to... Your fictional wedding?
My fictional wedding, but I have been talking to myself a lot about how that will probably never happen. But we've been talking a lot about plus ones at weddings. Mm-hmm. My mom, weirdly enough, is adamant that everybody should have at least one other person at the wedding that they can hang out with. And so in this situation, it kind of sounds like her kids are her plus one.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that her entire family's there. But I'm kind of in the boat that a wedding is an adult event. Like, there's probably going to be alcohol flowing. There might be a little flow rida on the dance floor. And so it's not necessarily a kid-friendly event. But at the same time, you know, you want everybody to feel like they have somebody they could be with and hang out with.
You want your guests to be comfortable,
yeah,
within reason. So, like, for our wedding, we had no kids at our wedding except for our nieces and nephews. That was the exception to the rule. And they ended up leaving early. The kids did. And we purposely sat the older kids at a back table away from the bar and away from, like, you have, like, when you're putting your wedding together in the different tables. So we had the table with the nieces and nephews at it. And then we had the drunk friends at the front of the dance floor or by the bar. Like, you know how to keep them separate. So in this instance, and I know the kids are going to be there all day, I think a compromise here would be nice, especially her situation that she's a single mom, and the kids are her, like, comfort, like a comfort blanket for her. So if I was in their position, I would compromise and say after the cocktail hour, the kids are going to have to leave, because that first hour of the wedding is pretty chill. Like, everybody's just kind of like settling in, and I don't think you're going to see anything scandalous, and I don't think the kids are going to ruin the vibe. It's later on in the evening when everybody's, like, you know, shwasted and then, you know, busting dance moves on the dance floor, and the DJ may be playing songs with inappropriate lyrics. So I personally wouldn't be opposed to a compromise. But I get it's your wedding and it's your day.
That's how I see it. I think the sister got to let this one go. I mean, if I were in her case, I know that we make the joke all of the time that it's supposed to be your special day, but it's not. But I think it should be. So I feel like if this is her wedding and she doesn't want kids there, then that should be the end of it. And the sister should try to find a way to get a babysitter. And if you can't, that's okay too. But if she don't want kids there, there shouldn't be kids there.
Sister's a full-grown adult with two children.
Three
children. So, I mean, I hear it, like, I get you, Abby, with the kids are her plus one, and I can respect that. You have family there. It's not like you don't have other people to hang out with. It's okay to do, it actually sounds like it would do her good to have a night away from her kids, because it sounds to me like she's losing herself a little bit in mommyhood, which I imagine you have to do as a single mom. No compromise. It's your wedding. They're already there. They're part of it. No.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
You know those friends that are constantly making up and breaking up? It is just so hard for me to get on board with a couple like that because it feels a little wishy-washy to me. But I don't think that's how fans of Ashanti and Nelly are feeling this week. So the duo was spotted at a boxing match holding hands, and they also got a little frisky doing a performance in Vegas. Apparently, they've been in contact for a while now because Andy Cohen and fans actually asked her about their relationship a few months ago.
What I will say is we're in a better place, you know, because before it was like,
yeah.
But, you know, we're cool
you're
now.
You're cordial.
Yeah, we had some conversations, you know.
Nice.
So it's cool.
They're actually looking a little bit more than cordial on stage in Vegas. They had a performance and, you know, had a bit of a dance session on stage. So looks like this on again, off again couple is back at it again.
When you're on stage, though, you can always blame it on performance and that, oh, yeah. It was just part of the performance. It's, you know, it's part of the stage act.
And the benefit of hooking up again with an ex afterwards is your number doesn't go up.
True.
It's the same person, same number.
I think them being back together is a perfect example of how bad the dating scene is. Because Ashanti has ran from this man for 15 years. And she finally just stopped running. You know what? This will do.
I saw an interview clip with her yesterday from her where she said that he was her first love. And it's so hard to get over that first big love and heartbreak. So, you know what? I'm kind of here for it. A little fun fact about me is I actually emceed a Nelly concert about a year ago. And I think he's such a great guy that I'm kind of on board with it.
That's cool.
So James Corden is taking his final carpool karaoke lap with Adele. Yesterday, they shared a clip of them talking about their history together and some of the songs that were actually inspired by their friendship. I had no idea that Adele and James were so close, but apparently they had such a deep conversation that it actually inspired one of her biggest hits.
The first verse of this song was inspired by a conversation that you and I had, that you and Jules and the kids were so integral in looking after me and Angela, making sure that I didn't. And I remember you used to do it with humor as well. You used to be like, good luck with that one, like, you know, in any like sort of thing that I was pursuing and stuff like that. And then you were like always an adult to me, like you and Julia are very much, and you'd always give me this advice. And then I remember I said to you on the way home, I said, what's wrong? I was like, you just seemed down, and you let it all out to me, and you didn't feel stronger. And we were having like, what, a 6-hour conversation about it? It was like the whole way home.
So she's referring to her song, I Drink Wine, where she had this big conversation with James. She went home and then ended up writing this amazing hit. And they were in tears for most of the carpool karaoke. So it was really sweet to see their friendship live and in action. And I don't know, I'm getting like father vibes from James Corden. He has such a close relationship with Harry Styles, another Brit in the States, and Adele. Just kind of seems like he shepherded a lot of Brits here in the States.
Yeah, so you hear there's stories aplenty of him being a D-bag, right? But if Adele is friends with him, it gives him a little more credibility.
Does it?
Yeah, because it's like, I feel like Adele has a good judge of character, and I love her so much and who she is as a person. I want to believe she wouldn't be friends with a D-bag.
Well, is it possible that he's a different James Corden when he's hanging out with celebrities rather than civilians?
But you would see through that at some point. I don't think you can hide that for the length of the relationship that they've had. I think like something would slip at some point, and that as a judge of character, you would be able to see through that. I don't know why I feel like Adele's a great judge of character, because I don't have any basis on that whatsoever, but I just do.
Well, now I doubt Adele's judge of character.
Oh, because she's... Oh, yes. So you would have it, like, reverse? Yep.
She's the worst. He's awesome.
No, whatever.
James is also really close with Harry Styles, whose slogan is literally treat people with kindness.
Yeah.
So it does make me a little skeptical. But I know... I remember last time I was in New York, like, a couple days before, James had gotten kicked out or, like, banned from this really famous restaurant called Balthazar, which is a known celeb hotspot. And so I'm like... If James is getting blacklisted from a celeb hotspot that probably has a lot of divas in it, makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, the power of like social media and a narrative now is so big. You know, like, have there been a lot of people that come out and say that James Corden is like that, or is it just them?
No, there's been
a couple.
There's
right?
been multiple stories. Yeah.
He gets a lot of fan hate. Like anytime he's in a movie, all of Gen Z will be on TikTok. Like, do we need James Corden in another musical? Like, let's. There's other actors out there. I swear. Harrison Ford is officially retiring as Indiana Jones after his upcoming movie Indiana Jones and The Dial of Destiny. He told Total Film Magazine that this is going to be the final film in the series, and it's the last time he's ever going to play the character. There's actually a TV series in early development at Disney Plus right now. Harrison said, even if it happens, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, people were ripping on him on his last movie, right? When he like tried to do things like run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he retired after that one.
Yeah. Or walk at a brisk pace. They're like, oh, that's his stunt man.
That ball gonna catch him this time.
That's walking fast.
Hey, you yeah. try running at 80 years old.
I'll let you know how it is. I'm not planning on going anywhere.
Did a couple of A-listers break up both their relationships and fall on set? I'll tell you, fall in love on set. I'll tell you about the rumors coming up in your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
I think flirting is a little bit like dancing in this way. If you're bad at it and you get a couple of drinks in you, then you go out to the dance floor, you're still the same crappy dancer you were before you got out there. You just think that you're better.
You just now have confidence in your bad dancing.
Yes.
And you're willing to showcase it for the world.
You're just a little bit more loose about it,
right?
I think flirting might be the same thing. You think you're good at it. You get a couple of drinks in it. Then you get all cocky. Mm-hmm. You're still bad at it. You just buzz.
Makes sense.
And I think Abby saw a little of this weekend on her birthday weekend.
Oh, yeah. They were super loose and super cocky in Charleston this weekend. And we noticed while we were out, there's just like a very specific type of man that goes out in Charleston. It's sort of like the worst frat party you've ever been to, but with real money. We were looking around and we're like, it's like the richer these guys get, the less they try in terms of dressing. They'll come out in like t-shirts and cargo shorts, but that's how you know. They just had the kind of money that they're like, I don't need to look good. I've got a platinum Amex in my back pocket.
Okay, still have the shaggy hair.
Still have the shaggy hair.
Boat shoes.
Uh-huh.
Crokies? Still?
Yeah. Have the crokies. Uh-huh. Southern Tide.
Yeah.
The, like, polo shirts tucked into, like, khaki shorts with the belt that has, like, the...
Has a dolphin on it or a couple of dolphins on it.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, it's like crocheted or whatever. Like, you know, those belts that have, like, their school logo on it or something like that.
Yeah. It's just, like, the worst kind of Wolf of Wall Street energy.
Yeah.
And so, me and my friends, we travel a lot together. And
it is preppy Wolf of Wall Street, isn't it?
It's very preppy Wolf of Wall Street, and it's terrifying in the worst way because these guys have no idea what they're doing.
Sounds like
it's borderline scary.
Did we paint a good enough picture for you, Mom?
I am at the party.
Okay.
I'm right in that thing.
Everyone, cover your drinks. So me and my friends travel a lot, and we've noticed that in certain cities, they just have a little bit more riz than others. Nashville, killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Austin, Texas, killing it. Tampa, you need some help. Charleston, you really need some help. And it got to the point where we started keeping this running notes app of all the weird ways that we would come and get approached, or like the weird things that they would say while we were in a somewhat romantic interaction.
So you have like regional flirting tips.
Absolutely. I don't know what tips to give Charleston because they need all the help they can get. Like I might need to go and tutor somebody.
Like in New York, you would just go right up to a girl and flip her off as soon as you meet her, right?
Exactly.
That's flirting. 6:30 in New York City.
You go curse at her.
Steal her cab.
She's like, that's so romantic.
Exactly.
So I actually ranked the top five worst ways they came up and approached us or some things that they said to us while we were flirting.
I just want to do this too for guys. It's freaking terrifying. It really is. If you're a guy that's a little on the insecure side, like approaching a woman, especially if she's with other women, at least for me, was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, the group setting is rough.
The group setting is rough.
For a man to approach you while you have friends on, knowing that he's probably going to have to do the walk of shame back to his own friends, that it takes some courage, man.
Yeah, and for you, Abby, if that happens and he fails, I still think you got to give him one of your, you're doing good, sweetie.
No. Good answer.
Bert, these aren't even bad. They're like objectively almost dead wrong.
Okay.
And it's going to start a little, not dark. I think dark is the wrong word, but they get sillier as I like them more. Okay. So like in my top or my worst spot, in the number five spot, some guy just went up and kissed my friend out of nowhere.
Okay.
See? No. It's not like, oh, he had a bad pickup line. Mm-mm. It's like, I should call the police.
No, I've only seen one guy pull that off, and it was to Katie, actually, when we were all out. That they never said a word to each other.
I remember that.
They just looked at each other in the eyes, and he was on his way out of the bar, and they locked eyes. This crazy sexy kiss and left, and they never said a word to each other.
Oh, dear.
Never spoke to each other again. That was it.
That's kind of hot.
Yeah, well, it is. Guys, don't try that.
No.
I think Katie initiated that. I think that's what the difference was there.
Yeah, her eyes were saying, get in here.
Yeah.
No, we were sitting at a bar, and my friend was talking to this guy. I thought it was going pretty well. It was that part of the night where I ordered some meatballs, and I was focused on the food.
The meatball part of the night.
I don't know why I ordered meatballs. I don't know. They're so specific for me.
That's like you've totally given up that you're going to, like the idea of that you're going to end up like kissing a guy tonight.
Exactly. My friend over there is like having this like sexy flirty interaction.
Yeah.
Other than the weird kiss and I'm over there with my balls, like it was just not, it was just a really sad moment. I look over.
No feeling.
Like, are you okay?
I've been there, Abby. Don't worry about it.
All right. This one was another little like, objectively horrible. So we were at this club. My friend was talking to this guy about how we were all there celebrating some birthdays. And he was like, oh, how old are you guys all turning? And she's like, oh, we're like 25, 26. And he goes, oh, you guys are like 19 though. And she's like, hi, yeah. We like, because some of us have baby faces. And she's like, no, we're like 26. And he goes, no, you guys are like definitely like 19. And just like continued to insist that we were these underage girls. And it started to feel a little like,
you're creepy, dude.
A little creepy.
For sure.
Like, I'm a grown adult who pays taxes.
Did he start questioning you like a bouncer that sees a fake ID?
And I was like, here's a blood sample. Here's my ID. I swear I'm 26.
And a dude that's like obsessed with your age and the fact that he came over to hit on you thinking you were 19 and he wanted an underage girl. That is creepy.
It was very uncomfortable. Mm. Okay, here's when it starts to get a little bit less dark. So we were at the same club. And you know when you start to feel like you're just being watched? You're like, somewhere there's eyes on me somewhere. And it started to give us the heebie-jeebies a little bit. And all of a sudden, we found the culprit. We turned around, and there's this guy just in the corner by himself. He's at like a table. Again, Charleston, old money vibes. And he's just staring at us, nodding like,
Oh, my God.
should we be flattered or should we be afraid for our lives?
Is he trying to figure out which one he wants to skin? Like, WTF?
He's trying to figure out how many of you guys he can get into his trunk.
He's one of those guys that takes solo vacations. It's actually And so at one point, we're like, should we go over and see if he's okay? Like, maybe he's so out of it that he, like, can't form words and approach us.
Maybe that was his thing.
Maybe.
Right?
Yes.
If I just look really confused, like I don't know where I am, these girls will come up and try to save me. And at that point, it's too late.
He's a little bit drooling. Y'all gonna go check on him.
So we did. We went over and checked on him. And here's where it turned out good for us. He actually had a bottle of Dom in his his little ice bucket. And he was so out of it that we just took a couple drinks. It was fine. I thought he owed it to us.
This scenario right here is, what are those little plants called? That they slowly like start to
Venus flytrap.
This is the Venus flytrap of dating right here. Yeah. He seems vulnerable, and you guys are in, and then you get your hand on the bottle of Dom, and your clothes off.
But we got the free drinks out of it, so who's the real winner here? Okay, the second one. Okay, so this one's my favorite, but my friends picked the number one spot for me. So hang on for that one for just a second. Number two, I was talking to this guy and he started showing me photos of his family's vacation homes. Like, you know, a guy has money, homes.
That's corny.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, where do you summer? And I'm like, Atlanta.
Where
in my apartment where I live.
Summer. Wow, that is so out of my pay grade right there.
Where do you winter?
Summer. Wow.
But I will say, I was like, okay, how can I finesse this Nantucket situation? And then the last one was our favorite. We were cackling about this video for the whole weekend. We were at this bar where these two guys approached my two best friends, Virginia and Kennedy. They're always the most beautiful girls in the bar. So guys will always go all out to get their attention. And so these two friends came up and literally in unison pick them both up and start spinning in a perfect synchronized circle to like a Fetty Wap song. And it's so funny. It is like frat party Dancing with the Stars. We have the video to prove it. It's so funny where these guys were just so desperate to get their attention that they were willing to just start
dancing. Did a whole
Cirque
du Soleil.
It was so good.
But where do you go from that? Like,
I think I started yelling at the guys at that point. I was like, well, what are you doing with my friends? We were having a good time until you tried to dance with them.
Oh, wow, guys.
That's a lie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Charleston, get it together. Need some help.
Well, your challenge this weekend is to ask a girl where she summers.
That's probably the hardest challenge you've given me.
The Burt Show.
Quite frankly, we talk a lot about stuff on The Burt Show on our bonus content that we just can't talk about right here. So this week, and it's out now, we talk about the drugs that we've done. A lot of you guys were asking us why we didn't hire a more diverse host. I said that I don't really feel like I'm a great judge of character anymore. You guys were asking us about that. We went deep on our bonus content this week with your Ask Us Anything questions. If you want to sign up, you can do that at theburtshow.com/bonusBS. All right, it is a Burt Show ditch or date.
She wants to know, should she ditch a date? Make a move or wait? Should she keep him or dump him? She wants to know if she should banish him or be smashing him, bury his bones or jump him.
So he did something kind of offensive, Ellie. She felt it was offensive to his own dog, and now she is considering ditching him forever. He was just trying to be funny. She didn't think it was funny at all. Does it make a statement about who he is? Okay, ditch or date? Mo has the email.
Burt Show, P1 here. Never thought I'd be writing into a radio show, but this dilemma is right up your alley, and it's definitely a ditch or date scenario.
Let me pause you there for just one second. As a programming note, I'm getting more and more of these lately. Burt Show, what's a P1? If you don't know, you don't know. If you don't know, you're not one.
Right? But if you want to be one, how can they be one?
Just listen longer, and you'll get it.
Listen more.
Yep.
A lot more. Please keep me anonymous. I'm 24 and dating a guy who is 22. We've been dating for approximately 6 months. For me, we're right at the point of getting super serious as we took it slow in the beginning of our relationship. We're both out of college and in the real world with real jobs and stresses. My boyfriend will routinely ease his stress with a plant that is legal in our state.
Okay.
I wonder what that is. All right. I have no issue with this whatsoever. Every now and then, I will even participate. My issue is what he and his friends did with his dog while they were smoking. He's got the most adorable senior rescue dog, Roscoe. One night, while we were at his apartment, they blew smoke in Roscoe's face in an attempt to get him high. They were all cracking up as Roscoe got all glassy-eyed. I'm a huge animal lover and even volunteered a rescue in my spare time. I immediately went over and harshed their buzz by calling them out for their sophomoric antics and schooled them that marijuana is toxic for dogs.
Marijuana. A marijuana cigarette.
I took Roscoe into the bedroom with me to watch TV. He was fine.
He was hungry, though. He's eating everything.
Get him some Doritos.
Just a little out of it. My boyfriend and I didn't speak about it anymore after that. I don't even know if he fully remembers what happened. That's the one and only time I've seen him do that. I know for a fact, if it were to happen again, I would be gone. But is that a one-time ditchable offense? I don't care about him. And when I say him, I'm referencing my boyfriend. That's fair. We needed that.
Clarification.
I want to believe this is a one-off mistake and not a representation of who he is as a person. What would you do? Bird Show, would you ditch or would you continue to date?
See, this also goes back to my theory, Abby, that when you're 25, 26 and you're on a whole bunch of dating apps now, that there's so much quote unquote inventory. I hate to refer to humans as inventory, but if you're single, you're just human inventory, dating inventory. That's it.
What?
That's it. You know what? If there's one little itty bitty thing wrong, then you're ready to move on to the next person, right?
But at least you're still human. Like yeah. He said human inventory.
But you're just dating inventory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all we are.
That's it. You're that's a product. On Tinder, you're a product. Yeah. Hey, don't take it personal. So in a case like this, just have a talk with the dude. Say, don't ever do that again. I really hate that. Don't ever do it again. And then continue your relationship. Now you go to Tinder though, and you've got so many options that this almost seems like a breakupable offense.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I get where you're going with this.
But it's never that simple for women because we're thinking, okay, we need to unpack this. Like if you're willing to potentially harm your senior, is this a service dog? His senior dog.
It's pretty Jack's
rescue dog. It is.
Like what else are you willing to do? Yeah. You know what I mean? So even though it seems like a small thing, I could see me and her in this situation being like, okay, well, what else would you be okay with? Because I personally would never try and do anything that could potentially hurt this little baby doggy.
And from a biological, like if we're getting down to the bare bones of it, what?
I was thinking of a totally different instance with a dog and a friend of mine that I can't even talk about during the show.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
Check out the bonus BS content.
I don't even know that I can put it there. Yeah, maybe I can put it there.
We'll discuss.
Okay.
So getting down to like the bare biological bones, right? Even if you are not interested in having children or that's not even something that's on your plate, especially in your early 20s. I mean, I had no idea until my clock really started ticking in my mid to late 30s that I wanted to have kids, right? But they say that women are attracted to men who they know would be good fathers. It's like this biological pull. This would be a huge deterrent.
That'd be a
point. I'm just saying, from that like bare bones biological component, like if you're gonna do that to your dog, what you gonna do to our kid?
Yeah, let's go ahead and just change the word senior dog to toddler.
Okay. All right, that was a leap. Whatever. I do agree with you. So what you're saying is because there's so many options out there, you're willing to throw away something so readily because you feel like you have something that can fill its slot.
I am not blaming her for being offended and thinking it's not appropriate because I think she's right.
Correct.
But as far as like breaking up with a dude over it, I just don't. I don't see it as that major an offense.
It's silly. It's a silly thing to do. I also think it's a silly reason to leave. I mean, if this is something that adds on to other things, and then maybe then she feels like, all right, I'm starting to see some things and get up out of there. But to leave for this seems like a lot. I would just talk to him and let him know I'm not tolerating that. And if you ever do it again, it would be a problem. That should be the end of it.
Are we also giving him leniency because he is 22 and not 32?
Probably.
A little bit,
probably,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Look, when I'm a senior, you guys can blow that stuff in my face. It won't bother me at all.
I was planning on it.
I'm only a couple of years
toxic for dogs.
Dude, ditch him. Ditch, run, because what it shows is people do stupid stuff all the time. Sure. For me, it shows he doesn't think through his actions and he doesn't think about other things. Like if you're going to get every time I give my dog anything, I Google to make sure it's not toxic for dogs because I care about them. So doing something like that with a mind altering substance on an animal, not knowing what's going to happen and not even thinking through it shows me that he is maybe in an immature place where he can't think of anyone outside himself and doesn't care about other things about himself. Something you can grow out of, absolutely. But right now, for me, that would be an absolute ditch.
So you're saying, get rid of this dude.
Dump
him. Only going to get worse.
Until when he comes back, when he's older and a little more mature and can think through that stuff, sure, do it. But that this is a big no-no.
I can tell you're happily married, Cass, because with the dating scene today... You're going to leave somebody every time they don't think through something.
Yeah.
You're going to be single for a very long time.
The Bert Show.
All right, we've had some discussions over the course of the last couple of weeks about what is your preference in dating and what would be considered discrimination, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have.
So we got an email from a Burt Show listener some time ago because I said that I prefer to date fit women. Then I got some heat for me being fat phobic, and I don't think that's discriminatory. That is just my what I'm attracted to. Same way I don't get offended by women that like tall dudes, and I am a short guy. That is your preference. And then we went down the list, right? Is if you won't date somebody because they're black, is that prejudice or is that just what you are attracted to, right?
Yeah, and I don't see this like some people see it. I know some people would see that as a prejudice, but I think that people should be allowed to have preferences. And if that's your preference, if you're just not into black men for whatever reason, you're more into Caucasian men or whatever, I just think that's your preference. It's not something that I personalize and feel like I'm offended by.
Did we come up with a definition for this, like what the difference was ever in these conversations? Because I feel like I'm bringing one to the table today that is definitely discrimination and not what you're attracted to. But what was our definition?
I missed that conversation. I think I was out sick that day.
I Googled it. So prejudice is an opinion that's not based on reason or actual experience. So if you have prejudice, it's like, do you have a bias that isn't founded? Whereas your preference is just like, what do you find appealing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the woman that I know has a daughter. And she has been dating a guy now for about 3 or 4 months. They are both very physically active. In fact, they met each other in the gym. I think they do CrossFit stuff together. That's sort of their thing together, is nutrition and staying healthy, right? So her new boyfriend, again, about 3 months, hadn't met her daughter. He was going to meet the daughter this last weekend. And she was super nervous that when they met, she was going to get dumped because she feels like she has done a terrible job with her daughter's nutrition and fitness. And by her accounts, her daughter is overweight, like big time overweight. So she was feeling like, okay, so I'm going out with this guy who I also believe is a trainer. If he hangs out with my daughter and he sees what she looks like and how I have been feeding her and how I have been just kind of irresponsible and a lack of exercise, because her daughter doesn't have any kind of disease or anything like that. It's just like they were going through a period with her dad where it was just really stressful. And I think mom's just is like... I don't want her to have reasons to go over to dad's house, so I'm going to let her eat whatever she wants. And she has. So the daughter is overweight.
There also could be mental health issues with the daughter dealing with a divorce.
Could be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the daughter is so young, she wouldn't even know how to verbalize them yet. But
yeah.
As far as I know, there haven't been any other problems in any other areas.
Mom's just taking the onus herself by letting her daughter do whatever she wants. That's
pretty much.
Okay.
And I think divorced parents can understand that, man, especially in the beginning of a divorce. You don't want your kid to always want to be over at the other house because they're letting them do whatever they want. It's probably layered, right? But anyway, in this case, so she goes out with him this weekend and he meets her daughter for the very first time and ghosted her right after. There has been no.
So her fear came to fruition.
Her fear was totally based in what her gut was telling her, right? So they go out this weekend, they spend some time. He didn't say anything on the date, but there was nothing controversial about the date. There was nothing that changed. There was no dialogue that hasn't been different. As far as she knew, they were having just a great time together. I don't know what they did, but at the end of the day, he has completely stopped communicating with her, just fallen off the face of the earth after 3 months. So she got ghosted.
And the assumption is it's because her daughter's overweight.
That's the assumption, right? So that to me, that's pure discrimination, right? That is not what I'm attracted to. That is a case of discrimination.
I disagree.
You disagree. Okay.
I think if I were in that trainer's position, it's not because the daughter is overweight. It would be, and I'm trying to say this in a very non-judgmental way. I'm not trying to judge because I am not divorced. I don't understand everything that goes into it. But as somebody on the outside, I would look at, you're not taking care of your kid. you don't have time to have a relationship because you're not taking care of your kid. And again, that's very hard to say, not knowing like if there are mental health issues, mm-hmm. if there are mm-hmm. any issues like with health, like if there's a condition that causes your child to gain weight. But
she,
I mean,
if there is, she doesn't know it. So she is taking responsibility, saying like, my kid is overweight and it's because there's nothing except what I'm feeding her. I let her eat anything that she wants. So let's work under that premise.
Then for me, it's at that point, it's not neglecting your child, but you're not teaching your child healthy ways. I'm a fat woman. I make sure my kid eats healthy. We do a lot of work in that house around neutralizing foods, not restricting anything, but also focusing on health and exercise, but not to, I mean, it is a balance and it is a dance I do every day to make sure that my daughter has a full understanding of nutrition, that there are foods that make you feel different ways, do different things for you, that play and movement is good. It makes you happy and feel good. I do a lot of research on it. I listen to child psychologists, child nutritionists. I don't want her to grow up with disordered eating, and I also don't want her to grow up fixated on food or feeling like she needs to be in the gym 24/7. I'm trying to hit that sweet spot in the middle where she can just live and be a little girl and a human.
Be happy.
Yes, without worrying about what she's putting in her mouth or worrying what she looks like. It's a lot of work. This person does not sound like they have a good grasp on that yet, and that they haven't, for whatever reason, I'm again not judging, taken that step to teach their kid about nutrition or health, or sit down, what's going on with you, honey? Like, not because she's gained weight, but because of the divorce. And so if I were dating somebody and I saw that their kid maybe needed extra attention and extra help, I wouldn't ghost, but I wouldn't be down for that relationship, because in my head, I'd be like, you need to focus on you and your family. Your kid's the priority. Mm. Your kid needs to be a priority, and it doesn't look like your kid is a priority. So I'm not going to divert your attention anymore from that kid. And if you can't pay attention to your own kid and help your own kid out, then you can't pay attention to me.
So my initial thought was just the opposite of that. Like, here she has an opportunity with a guy that is really into fitness, really into nutrition, that if he was really into her,
yep.
he would want to help the situation out.
He would
not
want to
totally
step up.
Bail.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
That he would want to, if he really liked her, and granted, we're only like 3 months in, mm-hmm. so I mean, that's so early, but he would want to be like, hey, this is what we do for a living. Let me try to help you.
And on the flip side, mm-hmm. if I dated someone, I would break up with them immediately.
Really?
I'd be like, you don't get to have any say. Like, how dare you look at my daughter's body and decide that you can have a say on how she looks? Absolutely never. So it's like two different scenarios. Yeah.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
You know what I'm going to eat up every single time?
Cheese dip.
Yeah, sorry. And guac.
I'm really hungry. I just had an English muffin for dinner last night. My stomach's like,
oh. I've got to.
You don't have to. Slide. It's okay. Oh.
No, now we're going to make this break about how hungry you are. Yes. Can we get you some food?
Yes, immediately. I've got a collagen shake you could have.
That's good. I'll pass.
Yeah. So I'm always going to eat up a leading couple that ends up getting together after they film a movie together.
Oh, yeah.
I was the biggest Zac Efron and Vanessa Ann Hudgens stan when they did High School Musical together. Heartbroken when they broke up. Still not over it. So I'm currently rooting for a couple that I'm not sure I should feel good about. So rumors are flying that Glenn Powell and his girlfriend have split after she unfollowed Glenn's current co-star, Sydney Sweeney. Right now, Sydney and Glenn have been in the press a lot because they're filming this really cool rom-com in Australia. If you haven't seen the photos on the internet, they are super lovey-dovey. They are all over each other in every single picture.
I'm not going to try to front here. What do I know Glenn from?
Top Gun Maverick.
Which one? Which dude is he?
He is Hangman.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was also in a rom-com called Set It Up. Sydney Sweeney's in Euphoria. Mm-hmm.
She, I know. He, now I get it. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen some of the photos, and it wasn't even from, like, I don't think it was from the movie. I think it was from them, like, doing interviews and stuff, or the alleged photo that got posted that caused her to, like, unfollow, and they look very cozy.
Very cozy. I mean, I really do ship them. I think they look super cute, but a lot of people are thinking that it's not actually an accurate reason why his girlfriend would unfollow her, because Sydney's actually engaged and just bought a house with her fiance like a couple months ago. Mm. So they're like, what really could be going on?
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Anything could happen. And so I feel bad that I'm rooting for them, but they just look so darn cute that I'm going to get over it.
Do you guys have a celebrity couple that you root for?
That I like actively root for?
Yeah. Who?
They don't have any problems, but Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
I love them. So I don't know why. I like barely know anything about them, but to me, they're the epitome of Hollywood love. Like they've made it.
Yeah.
And Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds would be the other one.
That, absolutely. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds for sure. And then if I were to hear that they were getting a divorce, it would actually like affect my day. And that would be Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Oh, yes.
I don't have one.
You don't have one.
No.
You don't. You wouldn't ship them.
I have quite a few couples I root against.
I was
I'm front row.
Mine's
odd. While she's actively pregnant with their second child, you're still going to boo her.
Booing.
Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox for me. I really want them to be together forever. Yes. Just this rock and roll couple.
Yeah, they are delightfully chaotic.
Yes.
For me,
delightfully chaotic.
That is the best descriptor ever. For me, it's Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. I think they have the cutest relationship. And then, of course, it was Joe Alwyn and Taylor Swift.
In some of these cases, if they wanted to file for divorce, I would like call the courtroom and say, you can't, you have to say no. You can't accept it.
Zendaya and Tom Holland.
Oh, they are so good together. Mm-hmm.
I ship them.
I do. Okay, we have another reboot in the works. We can add this to the list of reboots that I'm not sure who's asking for them, but
again,
we got them. We have another reboot.
Keep coming.
So we have the Big Bang Theory spinoff, mm-hmm. Harry Potter, Twilight, Baywatch, and now Blossom. So Mayim Bialik was recently asked about a possible reboot, and she says she's been in talks with Disney to reboot a show she was on in the 90s, of course, called Blossom. At the very least, she's thought about how they would switch up the plot line, how they would make it fit into 2023, and here's what she said about where her character would be in this decade.
This is the question I am most asked. You know, where would Blossom be now, and are you going to do a reboot? And we think Blossom would probably be a real do-gooder, you know, like civil rights attorney occurred to us, doing something good, but, you know, in her own way, and also all the characters, you know, we have all the cast excited about revisiting this, so we're very curious where we all would be.
I did have a huge crush on Joey.
Oh, you did?
Oh gosh, yes.
I do think she probably saw the Big Bang Theory spinoff and got a little jealous and thought, here we go. Mm-hmm. Let me get my own spinoff. If I'm not going to be a part of it, make Blossom Part 2 happen. Okay, one of my favorite shows, also from the 90s, growing up was Full House. I loved it mainly because I always loved those Mary-Kate and Ashley films. And so when I saw them on those reruns, I would be so excited to watch them.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, that one just hurt.
What?
When you said I saw them on those reruns because you didn't see it when it came out the first time.
Oh,
yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Right. I know it's time for you to fill out your nursing home application.
Oh, I'm already getting emails from AARP. It's all good.
But John Stamos actually said that he got the two of them fired from the show.
Did you try to get the Olsen twins fired?
I did it. I didn't try. I did. We're doing the scene. Joey and I were changing the baby. So we're carrying the baby downstairs. And we take her in the kitchen and we hose her down. And she was great. Both of them. They wanted to be anywhere else but there. And so did I.
Because they were 11 months old.
They were 11 months old, and God bless them. And they kept switching this one. This one's not going to cry. This one, I couldn't deal with it. And I said, this is not going to work. And so they got rid of them. They bring on these two redheaded kids.
Did the Olsens know that they were fired?
They do now.
Wow. Damn.
I never knew that.
That changes the history of the world.
Forever.
Yeah.
If that happens.
An 80s pop star was asked to be a part of the Real Housewives franchise. I'll tell you who you could possibly see on your TV screens on your next E-Buzz on The Bird Show.
Get it? The Bird Show.
I love this kid, man. He saw a problem and decided to do something about it. He wasn't just going to be one of these kids that's 9 years old and is complaining to all of his friends and not doing something about it. It was time for some activism. So at 9 years old, Killian Palmer did not like the way his school was making mac and cheese. He goes to school in Farmington Hills, Michigan. He thought the mac and cheese sucked so bad.
It was trash.
Trash! You're trash and cheese. Don't bring it over here. So he probably, I'm assuming, went to teachers who thought it was cute. Probably went to the lunch lady, and she's like, I'll make this. I just serve it. Maybe goes to the principal, not getting enough action there. So Killian Palmer, at 9 years old, decides to go to the Farmington Hills, Michigan Board of Education.
Oh, wow.
which is broadcast live. Their conferences are broadcast live throughout Farmington Hills for any citizen that feels like there is an injustice being done in their community. So Killian grabs the mic at 9 years old and tries to make some change at his school when it comes to mac and cheese.
Do you like macaroni and cheese?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
we do.
Okay. I would pack a lunch on a macaroni and cheese day because I'm going to tell you why. Macaroni and cheese at Lanigan is not that good. It is burnt sometimes. On the top and bottom, it is burnt and crisp. Another reason that Lanigan needs better mac and cheese is because it is too cold. The final reason that Lanigan needs better macaroni and cheese is because we need an even amount of macaroni and cheese. When we get the macaroni and cheese, it has more cheese than macaroni. Sincerely, Killian Palmer.
I'm going to start signing all of my emails.
I love that.
Sincere.
I mean, kid's got some pretty good points.
He's a hero, right?
He's got great. The fact that it's burnt and also cold.
And the ratio cheese to noodle is off.
Oh, he said it's burnt on the top and the bottom.
And it's cold.
I mean, I recently had some whack mac and cheese, and that will ruin your day.
Some whack and cheese?
It was whack. It was.
It's a lot of whack and cheese out here.
Man. I mean, it was. I don't know how they made this whack and cheese taste like nothing, but they did. It was disgusting.
So, you know, in Farmington Hills, this was a hard hitting news story. So the local TV station goes a week later to talk to Killian to see if he's made any change.
Yeah. It was perfect. It was even. It was hot. And no burnt pieces. Pretty great.
What do you want to say to all the workers who are making lunches for the kids?
I mean, thank you for changing it. And also, what did you even put in there before? Tasted strange.
Kid wants answers, man.
It got changed.
Just looking for like a sweet, like, thank you to all the cafeteria workers. And now he's just like, what the hell were you putting in it for?
If you could make it taste like this, what were you doing before?
Hey, no more whack and cheese.
That's it.
All right, Kristen. Was it the husband, the kids, or the dog?
Yes. So, Burt Show listeners, we need you to call us up right now. 1-855-BURT-SHOW, 855-237-8746. You're going to tell us what you yelled in your home.
What the infraction was.
Yeah. Like, you're going to say you had to yell this at somebody in your home. They were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing, and you yelled at them. You're not going to tell us who you yelled at. We are going to guess if you yelled this statement at your husband, if you yelled this statement at your dog, or if you yelled this statement at your kids. Because
sometimes there's a very fine line.
Sometimes there is no line. Right? Sometimes you yelled at all three of them at once.
All right, so let me give you the perfect example, okay? And again, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. I specifically remember saying this in my house. Stop licking the air vents.
Was that your kid or your dog?
Was it my kid or my dog?
Your kid.
Your kid.
It was Hollis. He had some weird thing with the air vents, you know, like on the floor.
Yeah.
It was his hiding space for like army men. He would throw those down there and I would catch him like spinning down there. Licking the air vent.
Where does it go?
I don't know.
That's what he was thinking. Where does it go?
Right.
And see, the phone lines are already lit up because there have been numerous times when women have called in and the thing they had to scream in their home. And we were stumped as to whether or not she had to yell this at the husband, at the dog, or at the kid.
All right, Kristen, don't tell us which one. Just tell us what you had to scream, okay?
Oh, me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I yelled, get down from there.
Get down from there. I guess if she gave us the specific example, what was that person doing up there?
Climbing.
Just climbing. Could be a tree.
Just climbing.
Sounds like a drunk husband to me.
It sounds like a rambunctious toddler to me.
Yeah, I hope it's the husband, but I'm going to go with kid.
Kid, too, for me.
What do you have?
Yeah, it was my son.
How old was he at the time?
He's three.
Three. Okay, that one makes sense.
That makes total sense. That was an easy one. We're starting easy.
Mm-hmm. Christine, good morning. What was the words that came out of your mouth? We try to guess. Husband, son, or child or animal?
You're supposed to wipe your butt first.
Okay.
Okay.
You're supposed to wipe your butt first. I am going to hope and pray that this is your child and not your husband.
I'm going to go with husband.
You're going to go with husband.
I hope it's your dog who you've taught how to wipe.
I'm going with husband.
It was our cat.
Your cat?
Cat.
What?
Cat. You're going to have to give us some history.
I know it wasn't the dog. We don't have dogs, but the cat. Apparently, there was poop on the carpet about a foot away from the cat box.
So why would you tell your cat to wipe its butt?
Well, it was actually my husband that said it, but he was just mad because it was on the carpet and not in the cat box.
Okay. Oh, so that was his funny way of saying, okay, gotcha.
Got it.
Relatable.
Okay.
That was a trick one.
Brooke, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, get your butthole off my face.
Get your butthole.
Oh, right. Now we playing.
Get your butthole off.
Save that forever.
That right. is what you screamed in your home, and it was either your husband, your child, or your pet. I'm going to pray it was your pet.
Abby, get your butthole off my face.
For your sake, I hope it was your husband.
I'm going to go with husband, too.
Two husbands, a pet, Bert?
I'm going to go pet.
Two pets and two husbands. Who'd you yell it at?
My child.
All wrong.
Not where I wanted it to go.
How old was the child at the time? This could change everything.
Three.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So you said 24.
That's a real relief. Okay, one last one here. Good morning, Lindsay. You are on The Burt Show.
Do not poop on my floor.
Do not poop on my floor.
Why is everything having to do with the back end today?
You're right.
Because with grown men and dogs and
kids.
Poop and kids, it's all sort of the same thing. What are you going with?
I'm going to hope pet here.
I'm going kid.
I'm going kid.
I'm going pet.
Gotta be the two-year-old.
Yep. My son Hayden, his place to go number two was in our garage. He just wanted to go in the garage. So we couldn't find Hayden. There he was. We'd open up the garage door, and there he was squatting.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Need you all to save the date, Sunday, May 7th, for my first ever Pinot period party. Woo!
Are we drinking somewhere?
Yeah. What do you think a Pinot period party is?
Go ahead. Take it away, B.
All right. The Pinot period party is there will only be Pinot served at this party. Period.
Good answer.
No Chardonnay.
There'll be Chard.
No. Pinot.
Yeah. Pinot Grigio.
Period.
Pinot Noir. Just Pinot, period.
Was that right?
No.
Every time somebody completes a sentence, we drink Pinot in place of the period.
Oh. Wow, that is going to be one hell of an afternoon at Chateau Long Winery.
Lit, that party.
All right, so May is Period Poverty Awareness Month. And for those that don't know, there are quite a few menstruators out there who do not have the means to purchase period products. There are young girls and there are women who can't afford tampons, who can't afford pads, and therefore it affects their daily life. Some girls don't even go to school because they don't have the proper period products. So what Helping Mamas has done, this nonprofit organization that Cassie and I have worked with over the years, they collect period products and put period kits together for women who are less fortunate and can't afford period products, because any woman that's bought a box of tampons, you know how expensive it is. So what we're doing at this Pinot period party, May 7th, we are going to meet at Chateau Alon Winery at 2:00. We're just asking you to bring period products. No donation is too small. No donation is too big. And Helping Mamas is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Cassie is joining me on the party bus.
So hold on a second. Your ticket is
A tampon?
Yes, you're taking the tampon. Literally.
So you can literally walk in and go, here's my tampon, where's my wine?
Well, no, wine's for sale because, you know, it's alcohol and we can't offer you free wine because that's a liability. Okay. So wine and food are for sale, but it's just a way to hang out and to help out women who need a hand up.
Is there like a VIP tent if I bring in like a Super Plus versus an Ultra?
You know what, Abby? I love the idea. I'm going to work on it.
Okay, perfect.
I'm going to work on it. So all the details at thebirdshow.com, also at helpingmamas.org. And yeah, it's just, it's a cause that I didn't even realize there was this necessity out there, or this need rather. And so I just wanted to do what I could do to help. And I'm like, let's drink wine and try to solve the period crisis.
Very nice.
Love it.
Yes.
Helping puppies and periods. That's our Christmas.
You know what? I'll take it.
That's the next one. Puppies and periods.
Puppies and periods. Oh, man. I kind of like that.
Make sure no one's allergic first.
Yes, will do. Will do.
Where do you get the info?
TheBirdShow.com or HelpingMamas.org.
So Mo here does double duty on Q99.7. Not only does he do The Bird Show, but he does Jade and Mo in the afternoon. And Jade was asking a really interesting question the other day, or was it you?
No, it was Jade actually asking this question, and I thought it was interesting because the question is about if this scenario breaks guy code. And Jade and I had very different opinions on this, where I didn't think it was, but she did think it was. So I'm curious as to what you guys think in a situation like this.
So she thought she broke guy code?
It's a scenario with other people. She's not involved, but she believes that the guy broke guy code. And I, as the guy, do not think that the guy broke guy code.
Okay.
So can the girl think the guy broke guy code if she's not a guy, or is it up to the guy to determine if a guy broke guy code?
Oh, yeah. Woman-splaining is a thing.
Woman-splaining is a very, very popular thing.
Very big thing.
Yes. So let's see.
I'm going to have, like, a fundraiser for that. You go ahead and you deal with your penos and periods. I'm having a fundraiser for guys that are told by women what we should and should not be doing, or what our experience is.
What's sad is in today's society, you would have more attendees than I would. And that's not cool.
Okay. So this is the scenario. Mark and his friends frequent a bar near campus, and his best friend told them he has a huge crush on the bartender. When Mark went alone one day and he told the bartender about his friend's crush, her response was she wasn't attracted to his friend, but she was attracted to Mark. So tonight, she and Mark are going on their third date, and he wants to know if he should tell his friend, because he has never mentioned that they are actually going out now. Did he break guy code?
For sure. Should have told her right off the told him, the friend, right off the bat.
Like, hey, I went to be your wingman. Yep. I told her, but she says she's not attracted to you. She's attracted to me. Can I go out with her instead?
Right. And any dude would go, totally get it. I mean, if you're a stand-up guy, totally get it. Yeah, go for it. I mean, these aren't possessions. I mean, they're not being traded.
Which is why I don't think he broke Geico. See, because to me, I feel like I wouldn't do this, because if that's my top-tier friend, I just don't want that kind of drama. Mm-hmm. But the guy just had a crush on her. They didn't talk. They're not dating. Like, he just thought she was cute. Mm. So why he got to tell his friend anything?
Mm.
So if this is a top-tier friend, obviously if your friend comes to you and tells you this, you're going to believe him and not feel like he's sabotaging it just so he can go out with her.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Would you believe your friend?
Like, if it's a top-tier friend, I would believe him.
Okay, no, it's not a top-tier friend. It's a middle-tier friend.
I wouldn't believe him.
Okay.
I wouldn't believe him at all.
This is where I'd be, like, real gullible. I would believe him.
You would?
I would, yeah.
I would think he sabotaged it on purpose.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he's just saying that. Like, he said that he pitched me, but in actuality, he just put the moves on her so he could go out with her, never mentioned me at all.
I would probably think that, because if I were the guy in that scenario, I wouldn't date her just off of the fact that my friend had a crush on her first. But that doesn't mean I think it's breaking guy code if you do, because they never had any interaction.
I think the breaking guy code is just not telling your dude what's up immediately. Like, going out around him and secretly going on this date, to me, is where the infraction is.
Is there no guy code against him being like, yeah, she thought you were ugly, which she's not interested?
That's kind of why I wouldn't want to tell him. I don't think that's going to help his confidence or his situation.
So if the roles were different here and we're talking about women rather than a guy, are you breaking girl code?
Well, that's why I asked about the attraction thing, because if my friend comes up to me and she's like, yeah, he's not interested at all, he thinks you're busted. I'm like, wait a second, what? But I don't think it breaks any kind of code, because we don't have a history. It depends on how big the crush was. Like, is this like a long, pining 10-year thing? Because then, yes. But if it was just like, oh, I saw you like across the bar,
Not really.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the women who called said that. They said that it depends on how strong and how long the crush was. If it was just like a fleeting crush, then no. But if you knew your girl had a crush on this dude for a while, then it changes the scenario.
It completely changes the scenario.
Same for you? Girl code? Is it busted?
I don't feel like it is.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't feel like it is.
Y'all are bad friends.
Get it. The Bert Show.